think that'll be helpful to you. We've been in this series for the last 6 weeks called Ready for More, talking about the Holy Spirit. And the format we've used over this 6 weeks is looking at some of the word pictures that the Bible uses to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you think back with me on some of these word pictures, they've been pretty cool. We talked about the dove. The Holy Spirit is a dove. We talked about the wind of the Spirit. We talked about the fire from Acts chapter 1 when the church was born on Pentecost. We talked about the oil or the anointing. Last Sunday, we talked about the Holy Spirit being our guide, and today we're talking about the Holy Spirit being a seal, okay? And so this is the picture on the screen here of a seal. Now, how do you know this is not the seal we're talking about, okay? Just to be clear. So this is not a picture of the Holy Spirit. I'm not being disrespectful, but we say the word seal, maybe that's what we think about, okay? That's not the picture here of the Bible. We'll explain that here in just a moment. We started this series a few weeks ago talking about the Holy Spirit being the best gift we've ever received. And that's true. The gift of the Holy Spirit with us now and forever. And so this morning, as we just take a final look at this theme and this idea, maybe you're like me and you've got one of these Holy Spirit Ready for More bracelets. Do you have one of these bracelets? I know many of you do. We gave away 300 of them, so I hope someone's got them somewhere. And I've seen many of you wearing these. And you know, as I put this on in the morning, it reminds me of this. That, Lord, I'm ready for more of you today. Not just on Sunday. It's not just a Sunday prayer, but it's a daily prayer. It's not just a prayer for a pastor to pray, but it's a prayer for all of us to pray. And I hope that as you think about this theme, as you get up and go to work this week, as you take care of your children, as you whatever it is that you're doing this week, maybe you're heading out of town for vacation or whatever this week holds for you, to say, Lord, I still want to interact with you. I am ready for more of you. You're not just contained in the walls of this building, but you're going to go with me, and I want to be ready for more of you. Amen? That's our prayer. And so this morning, I'm going to ask my friend Samaya Ball to come on up. And come on, you're going to be our reader this morning. Let's all stand together out of respect for God's word. And she's ready to read the text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Do you have it memorized? Oh, she's got it memorized. Way to go. All right.
Do I start?
You start right whenever you're ready.
Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, put his Spirit in our heart as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come.
All right. There's one phrase you left out, but it set his seal of ownership on us. But other than let's give her a hand. That was great. Way to go. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. She just raised the bar for all of our other readers. I just want you to know that. Those of you readers that thought you had it easy, now the bar's just been raised. And so we'll see. Next week I'll pull a really long text and see if you can memorize it. Great job. Great job. I don't know if you heard it, but there's three things that the Holy Spirit does in this text. Three things that he does for us that we're going to talk about today, and we'll get to those here in just a moment. But can we leave the text up on the screen for just a moment? Because what I want you to notice, just kind of as by the way, do you see the Trinity in this text? It is God who makes us stand firm in Christ and put his Spirit in our hearts. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just as we talked about a few weeks ago. So I just wanted you to notice that, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, God does three things in these verses I want you to notice, and I want you to write this down. This is the first fill-in. Number one, he anointed us. He anoints us. And we talked about this already this morning. We talked about it a few weeks ago. The idea that Christ is the anointed one. He comes to bring the anointing to us. The picture is of oil, and the idea is that oil was given to prophets, priests, and kings in the Old Testament to help them do a supernatural job. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. But the good news is today, all believers, say that with me, all believers have the anointing, the empowering, and the strength from the Holy Spirit to live out for God. So, again, Paul says here in this verse that he anointed us, number one. Number two, he set his seal of ownership on us. And number three, he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Wow. There's a lot of great stuff in these verses. Even though it's a short text, there's a lot of great meaning and truth and exciting things here that I want to hopefully pull out of this text this morning and to encourage all of us. So what do these word pictures mean? Well, we kind of can summarize them up with the word seal. The Holy Spirit is our seal. He put his seal of ownership on us. I've got the real picture of a seal. We'll put that up on the screen at this point. This is the seal that the Paul was talking about here in the New Testament. A seal that was put on a document, and it would be sealed with a wax and then an imprint on that wax to tell you that you could not break the seal. That seal was an official document. If you received that document and the seal was broken, you knew somebody was reading your mail. You knew something was going on that wasn't right. And when you received that document, it had to be sealed. That was a sign that it was official and it was real and it was secure. And that's the picture that God wants to give us today. The Holy Spirit is that seal in our lives. And we're going to give you some great truth here this morning. But what does that mean to be the seal? Well, the first thing it means, when something's sealed, even in that picture you notice, if something's sealed, it's authentic. It's authentic. In fact, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but you might recognize this. Here's another picture. If you look at the back of your dollar bill, okay, you see it's called the Great Seal of the United States. Do you recognize that? Okay. If not, sometime today, take out a dollar bill and look at it, and you'll find on the back, that's the seal that is an authentic dollar bill. That's the seal that it's the real deal. And of course, counterfeiters can counterfeit that, but that's the seal that's put on our currency. In fact, it's fireworks booth season right now. You heard me mention it earlier. And out here at the fireworks booth, the number one problem we have is counterfeit money. And every year we have people that, fake 20s and fake 50s and fake $100 bills. And we've got a scanner, we've got that pen, and all these things we try to do. But, people are trying to counterfeit money. Isn't that terrible? People giving churches counterfeit money? Oh, well, you'd be surprised what people do, of course. But when something is sealed, it means it's authentic. The second thing it means, if it's sealed, it means it's owned. It's owned. If something is sealed, it means it's owned by somebody. So we think about, the cattle in the Old West, right? And when the cattle were out there on the range, what would the rancher do? He'd take a branding iron and brand that cattle with his brand. And that was the seal. You knew that cow belonged to this rancher, right? Because it had its mark. It had its seal on it. And the third thing this idea of seal means, it means that it's secure. It's secure. If something's sealed, it's secure. Again, think about the picture of Jesus. When he was put in that tomb, the Roman guards were there, and there was a seal put on that tomb. Of course, it didn't work because Jesus conquered death. Amen. But the idea was, we're going to seal this tomb. We're going to make sure nobody opens it. We're going to make sure nobody goes in. We're going to make sure that this tomb stays shut. And it was sealed. And the idea was, again, that it would be secure. Letters were sealed with wax. And again, they were imprinted to show that if that wax was broken, you knew that the information in that letter was no longer secure. So all these ideas that it's authentic, that it's owned, and that it's secure are all wrapped up in this word picture of the seal. Now let's apply this to our lives, because this is some great news. And the Word tells us that the Holy Spirit is the seal in our lives. Having the Holy Spirit in our lives means that we are sealed, that we are in Christ, that we are authentic believers, that we are owned by Him, and that we're secure in Him. Now how do we know all these things are true? Because already, right now, if you can say along with me that already, right now, I had the Holy Spirit in my life, and I hope you can say that. If not, we'll pray with you at the end of the service that you can really experience that. But if I can say the Holy Spirit is in my life, that means that I am sealed in Christ. That means that I am authentically His. It means He owns me. It means I'm secure in Him. Now, this is some good news this morning. I don't know if you came to church today thinking, well, it's going to be bad news. If so, you're here on the wrong Sunday. This is some good news today to know that the Holy Spirit is our seal. That He's given us these benefits, He's given us these great things for us to know and live our lives by. We need to know that as His children, that we're people of the Holy Spirit, that we belong to God. If you're looking for a summary statement this morning, if you forget everything I say but you remember one phrase, here's what I want you to remember, that I belong to God. I belong to God. As you face difficulties this week, as you go through trials and temptations and troubles, maybe doubt starts to creep in your heart, remember this phrase, I belong to God. He sealed me with His Holy Spirit. I am authentically His. I am owned by Him. I am secure in Him, and I belong to God. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what anybody else ever says. I belong to Him. Now, that's not a boast about our own goodness. It's not saying, well, I'm such a good guy that God wants to own me. No, it's all about not me. It's all about him. I'm sinful. I've blown it. I've messed up. I haven't earned it, but he's given it to me by his grace. By his grace, he owns me. So we don't brag about it. We don't say, well, because I'm such a good guy. No, that has nothing to do with it. I recognize the fact that it's all about the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. So let's kind of unpack that truth this morning. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is our seal? Well, I kind of gave away the bottom line here. If you haven't written it down, write it down. I belong to God. I belong to him. Authentically, I belong to him. So let's kind of talk about what that looks like. So turn your notes over here. Let me give you some practical ideas here. Number one, I belong to God. That means he's going to take care of me. God is going to take care of me. If I belong to him, he is going to take care of me. Again, look at verse 22. The first part of that verse says, he set his seal of ownership on us. I belong to him. And again, we talked about the idea that it's like a cattle brand. You know, if you see that cattle, that cow that's branded in a certain, logo, you know who it belongs to. That's exactly what we're talking about, except it's not an external thing. It's even deeper. It's more permanent. It's internal. It's eternal that God has said, I want to own you. You belong to me. Now, you think about that. We belong to God in a couple different ways. Number one, we belong to him because he created us. And it always is a marvel to me that people mock God and people shake their fists at God using the air that God gave them. How is it that people take their God-given energy and even the air in their lungs that God gave them to mock and to wave their fist at God? It's just an amazing thing. But I belong to God because he created me, but also because he redeemed me from my sins. The Bible says God bought me from my sins when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. So I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to me. I belong to him. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Here's why it's a good thing. Write this down. God takes care of what belongs to him. Now that may sound so simple, but think about it. If I belong to God, God says, I'm going to take care of my stuff. How do you know God takes care of what belongs to him? He's a good God. He's not like me sometimes. I'm guilty maybe of not taking care of my stuff. You know, I thought about that. You know, I looked at my car the other day. I thought, man, how long has it been since I washed this thing? I don't know. My wife says, yeah, okay. I drive an old car, you know, and so I think, it's okay. And I thought, man, I got to take care of this thing if I want it to last. And so I took it to the car wash. I felt so good about myself. It's not here today because we drove Jackie's car, but next time you see my car, I say, wow, Pastor, good job. You washed your car. I don't know why. It's hard for me to do sometimes. God isn't like that. God takes care of his stuff. And if I belong to God, God's going to take care of me. God takes care of this entire universe. Do you realize that as we slept last night, the earth continued to spin? The sun kept on shining. The other side of the world, the sun came out. The stars came out. The tides came in. The tides went out. The world kept on going. Why? Because God takes care of what belongs to him. We don't even notice anymore. There's that old hymn, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but there's that old hymn that says, this is my Father's world. To remind us that this world belongs to God, and he takes care of it, and that's a good, good thing. He doesn't lack. He doesn't slip. He doesn't mess up. God takes care of what belongs to him. So if I belong to God, he will take care of me. And his care for me has a goal. He's not just taking care of me just to have me stay where I am. His care has a goal. His goal for my life is to form the character of Jesus in me. That's where his care is taking me. It's not just taking care of me where I am. He's saying, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to push you. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to send you in that direction to form the character of Jesus in me. That's that next fill in there, to form the character of Jesus in me. That's the goal. And here's why that's so important. Here's why that's important, because sometimes you're going through a hard time. And maybe even this morning or this week you've gone through a difficulty. You said, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Lord, why, if you care for me, why are you letting this hardship in my life? God, I thought you loved me. God, I thought you cared for me. He does. He wants to make you more like Jesus, and so he uses the trials and difficulties of life to form us in that direction. God's care doesn't mean you're just going to sit here and just kind of vegetate. No, he says, I want to form in you the character of Jesus. So that's how much I love you. That's how much I care about you. That even your trials and your difficulties and your troubles and your drama and your trauma and your pain is taking you somewhere, and that's to be formed to be like Jesus. And that changes the way we look at our trials, doesn't it? It changes the way we look at our problems. They're not just irritations. They don't just come to us because God's forgotten about us or God doesn't care. It's because God does care. He wants you to be like Jesus. So I belong to God. He'll take care of me. Number two, I belong to God. He won't give up on me. He won't give up on me. I bet if I asked for a show of hands, and I'm not going to do it, but if I said, how many of you feel like maybe God's given up on you at some point in your life? I think most of us say, oh yeah. If I were God, I would have given up on myself a long time ago. And sometimes we forget this truth that God is not going to give up on me. Look at verse 22. He put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. God has put a deposit down on your life. The picture is of a down payment. When you go to that real estate office and you buy that house, I believe most of us probably don't pay cash for our houses. Most of us have to put a mortgage on that house, and you put down that down payment. And you say, this is the first of 360 payments I'm going to make until in 30 years that house is going to be mine. Amen. Or 15 years if you're part of Financial Peace University and you know all that stuff, okay? But I mean, whatever your situation is, you put down that first payment. And you're saying, this is my promise that I'm going to make every payment until that day that the house is finally paid off and it's mine and it's no longer belongs to the bank. How of you like me are looking forward to that day? I hope I live long enough to get to that place. We'll see about that. But that's the picture here of a down payment. That God isn't just telling us about something in the future. He's saying, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit now. It's a picture of the future. It's a down payment on your eternity. It's a down payment on your destiny. God is bringing, by the Holy Spirit, he's bringing the future into the present that we may taste what the future is going to be like. Now you say, well, hold on, Pastor. I've put the down payment on some things and I haven't followed through. Maybe you've done that, or maybe someone's done that for you. I know a couple times when we've sold homes, someone put down the down payment, and then they backed out. It's like, well, that happens, doesn't it? How many know God doesn't do that, though? If God puts down the down payment, he's going to put down the whole thing. You can trust him. His finances are good. His credit record is perfect. He's not going to put down a down payment and back out. If God's put a deposit on you, friend, I want you to know God is going to see it through. If he paid the first installment, he'll pay every installment. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we know in our hearts and our lives, is the down payment of the eternity and the future that God has for us. So here's a phrase we've used several times throughout the last several years here, is the already and the not yet. The already and the not yet. There's a tension, isn't it, that between what we already experience and what we don't quite yet experience. Already we have the Holy Spirit, but not yet do we fully enjoy his ministry. We're still on this earth and we still go through life, but we look forward to one day we will. So here's a picture. You've heard me use this before, that in the already, not yet, it's like a pregnant lady. Is she already? She's already a mom. She's already pregnant. There's that baby within her. She's already a mom, but not yet can she hold that baby or feed that baby. And so that's kind of the tension we're in now. Already we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. But not yet are we fully in the presence of the Lord. And so even today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is an appetizer. It's a taste of the great future that God has for us. And maybe there's times, and maybe even this morning, you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit speak to you during worship or during prayer. And you said, oh, this is so great, Lord, I feel your presence. And that is an appetizer. It's an already, but not yet. That God's saying, I've given you the Holy Spirit as a deposit. You haven't received the whole payment yet, but one day you're going to. Is that making sense to anybody this morning? That God says, look forward to the future that I have. I've given you a deposit, and the full payment is coming. So look there in your notes, because Paul also in Ephesians, you might remember we talked about this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, circle this word on your notes, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So in Ephesians, Paul uses the same language of the seal and the deposit and the guarantee. So what does that mean? Our salvation, our sonship with God is not something that can be taken away from us. It's secure. If we were in that spot of thinking, well, if I have a bad thought, my salvation is gone. If I mess up and tell a lie, my salvation is gone. If I do anything wrong, my salvation is gone. How do you know that? We'd be very, very insecure. It's like, oh no, I did something wrong, so I lost my salvation. No, I want you to understand this. When we flourish as people when we are secure. Think about that. When we're secure, when we realize that God loves me, God cares about me, I don't have to worry every day, well, did I do something wrong and lost my salvation? I may have to come to God and confess my sin and have my heart cleansed, but that's not the same as losing my salvation. How would it be if you went to work this week and your boss said, listen, come on, have a seat in my office, let me talk to you. If you make one mistake, if you're late by 1 minute, if you mess up ever one time, you're going to lose your job. How do you know you'd be very insecure? Like, well, I'm just going to quit right now because I know I'm going to make a mistake before the day is over. Or if you had a friend who said, you know what, I'm glad we're friends, but you listen, if you say one thing I don't like, if you do one thing that offends me, if you're late for an appointment, we're not going to be friends anymore. How do you know you just say, you know what, this is not working for me? Because we don't do well in those contexts of being insecure. God says, I want you to be secure in my love, and here's why. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment on our relationship. We ought to be secure in that. We ought to be able to say, you know what? I don't have to worry every day that I'm going to lose my salvation. Oh, no, I did something wrong. My salvation is gone. No, God says, I don't want you to live that way. I want you to be secure in my love, secure in your salvation. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it up to me to hold on to God? Or do I have to realize that God is the one holding on to me? You see, if my salvation was all based on my ability to hang on to God, how do you know there's going to be times when I'm going to let go? I'm going to mess up. I'm going to have a bad thought. I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to say some things I shouldn't say. I'm going to get, upset with somebody. If it's up to me totally to hang on to God, none of us would be here this morning. Amen? Maybe you would be, but I don't think we'd be here. Because if it was up to us to hang on to God, where's the security in that? Because we can't do that. We are not always going to walk in perfection. But here's the better word picture. God is hanging on to us. God is hanging on to us. Now, again, I'm not saying that we don't cooperate with Him. I'm not saying we can just kind of sin all we want and God's going to put... No, that, if that's where your mind goes, you're not understanding grace at all. Because God's grace changes our hearts. But it's not up to me to hang on to God, because God says, again, go back to what the Bible says, that the Spirit is a down payment. The seal of the Spirit is a down payment on your life. And so, yes, we ought to do our best to serve Him and to love Him. If we stumble, to pray and confess our sin, all that is true. But at the end of the day, God's not saying, well, if you let go of me, I'm going to let go of you. No, God has given us a deposit that guarantees our inheritance, and that deposit is the Holy Spirit. God is committed to you. Now, again, in my notes right here, it says pause for applause, because I thought by now people would be getting so excited because this is good news. Oh, come on. You don't have to do that. This is good stuff. Not the preaching. I'm not saying the preaching is that good. I'm saying the Word of God is so good here that we can be secure in God's love for us. Amen. Amen. So if you struggle with doubt, and many of us do, you struggle with doubt. Lord, have you given up on me? The answer is no. If you even ask that question, it's proof that your heart is so tender towards God, and the answer is no. Now, again, I'm not saying that, you know, this is a whole other topic that we can't get into. There are people that can backslide and willingly walk away from God. I'm not saying that. That's a different topic. I'm saying if you have a desire to walk with God and you want to please Him and you want to serve Him, the very fact that you have that in your heart is proof that you haven't walked away from God, and it's proof that you're secure in Him, because the Holy Spirit is a down payment on our lives, our inheritance. God wants you to be secure. So perhaps the devil will come to you and say, well, you know, God doesn't really love you. God's given up on you. You've sinned too much, or you've done this before, and now you're doing it again. And when the devil starts to talk to you like that, take out your Bible and read this verse and say, no, the Holy Spirit is a down payment guaranteeing my inheritance. You've got to know what the Word of God says. We can't just live by our feelings, because our feelings will lie to us at times. And you see, this assurance is a gift that God wants us to have. And your enemy doesn't want you to have that. Satan wants you to be insecure. Satan wants you to be afraid. Satan wants you to think that you're trying to hang on to God and God's trying to shake you off. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says God's got you in the palm of your hand, of his hand, and you're secure in him. Amen. Let me move on. Number three. The third thing this means, I belong to God, it means he will bring me home. He will bring me home. Again, look at verse 22. I'm not making this up. This comes right out of our text. Look at verse 22. Guaranteeing what is to come. Listen, a guarantee is just as good as a person who makes it. You realize that? A guarantee is only as good as a person who makes it. If I am a man of my word, my guarantee is meaningful. If I say I will do it and I'm a man of my word, you can count on it. On the other hand, if someone is not a person of their word and they say something, you say, well, I don't know if I believe you because one time you told me and it didn't come true and you backed out, etc. Listen, a guarantee is as good as a person who makes it. God's guarantee is perfect. God's guarantee can be trusted. He's guaranteeing what is to come. He's going to bring me home. I love that word home. I don't know about you, but that brings up, I think, whatever picture you have, it brings up, I think, good things. Home. None of us live in a perfect home, or none of us are raised in a perfect home, but that idea of home just kind of means a place where I can be myself, where I can relax, where I know I'll be loved even if I'm not perfect. Sometimes we think about Christmas and the holidays, and I saw someone posted on Facebook the other day that we're exactly 6 months away from Christmas. I thought, that's a terrible thought to have. I don't want to think about Christmas right now in the middle of June, or the end of June, but that's true. We're right in the middle, you know, and it just kind of messed me up there when I thought about that. But think about home. God says, I'm going to bring you home. It reminds us, doesn't it, hopefully, that this world is not our home. We know that there is something more, something better, more than this world. This world is simply preparation for eternity. And we're here living our lives and having the character of Jesus formed in us. But how do you know this world is not our home? We're for followers of Jesus. He's going to take us home to be with him forever and ever. And what we're doing here and now in this world is we're preparing for that. Our character is growing. We're becoming the people that God wants us to be. And here's some good news for us all this morning, that God didn't bring you this far to not finish the work in you. God is not a quitter. God is not going to get you to a certain point and say, well, that's it. There's no more I can do with that person. I mean, they're hopeless. I can't do anything with them. No, God says, what I began, I'm going to complete. And the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. I belong to him and he will bring me home. God didn't get you this far to leave you where you are. God finishes what he starts. Now listen, your garage may be full of unfinished projects. Your sewing room may be full of unfinished projects. Your backyard may be full of unfinished projects. That's just human nature. But God doesn't have any unfinished projects. God completes what he begins. And the fact that I've got the Holy Spirit in my life means that he's going to bring me home. So as followers of Jesus, we ought to spend time looking ahead, looking forward to the future God has for us. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with him forever and ever, that he will wipe every tear from our eye. He will make all things new and we'll make all things right. God's got a great future for his people. And I'm convinced that we don't think of that often enough. Especially when life is difficult and times are tough, we ought to remind ourselves, you know what, this is difficult, but God's going to bring me home one day. I'm going through a tough time, and I just feel like life is difficult, but we've got to remind ourselves, God has got a plan, and God is going to bring me home. And the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit of my life today. The seal of the Holy Spirit guarantees that our relationship with God is not just for the here and now. It's not just temporary, but permanent, and will continue beyond our death. Even when we face death, we know that God is going to take us through. That the Holy Spirit that he's deposited within us is the down payment guaranteeing our eternity with him. It provides a promise that God will fulfill his promises and that believers in Christ will pass through the judgment unscathed. You see, what we have right now is a taste of the future. As I look around the room this morning, I hope that all of us would say, you know what, I know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit's in my life. He's convicted me. He's talked to me. He's guided me. He's directed me. He's been that oil of anointing in my life. He's been the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's been the power in my life. I know that I know that He's touched me. I know He's within me. He's filled me. And if we have that idea and that relationship, it's a taste of what God has for us in the future. And so we ought to be secure. We ought to be thankful for what God has done and looking forward to what He's going to do in the future. Friend, we cannot even begin to imagine all that God has in store for us. Even our time, even the times when we've felt closest to God, maybe it was when we were baptized, or maybe it was when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe when we were at the altar, maybe we were just worshiping God in our living room, or whatever it was, that time we say, I felt so close to God. Whatever that time was for you, guess what? That's just a taste of what God has for us in the future. It's the down payment of our guarantee. And so this whole idea of the seal of the Holy Spirit ought to be exciting to us because it points forward, it points to the future that God has for us. So here's your homework assignment for tonight. You want some homework? Here it is. Tonight, after it gets dark, step outside. And hopefully it'll be, you know, the power went out at our house last night. Anybody else have that? In Elk Grove, the whole city went dark for a little bit. Just us? Okay. I guess we got to pay our power bill. Maybe that's what happened. It's a sign, yeah. I shouldn't have said anything. I get sidetracked here. Here's your homework. Step outside tonight and look up at the stars. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you and say something like this. You know what? The God who spoke the universe into existence has given you the Holy Spirit to live within you. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. The God that spoke the universe into existence said, I'm going to live within you. I'm going to dwell inside of you. And that Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you is not just for the here and now. He is the seal guaranteeing your inheritance. It's a sign that you belong to me. It's a sign that you ought to be secure in my love, because if I started something in you, I'm going to finish it. And as you take a moment just to let that sink in, what it'll do, it'll change your heart, and you'll say, God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for the ministry of your Holy Spirit within me. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is not just the oil or the dove or the wind or the fire or the guide. All those things are important, but Lord, your Holy Spirit is the seal on my life. You're the seal on my life, and I know you've got a great future for me. If you do that, I believe God's going to speak to you and touch your heart. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment? I know I've given you a lot of stuff here today, but I hope you'll go out of this room today saying, you know what, I belong to God. I belong to Him and His Holy Spirit's within me. But you know what, before we pray and close this part of the service, I want every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Because I don't want to assume that just because you're here, you know God. In a room like this, there may be some that say, you know what, Pastor, honestly, I don't know if I've ever given my life to Jesus. I don't know if I know the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart and my life. And I'm not going to just assume because you're in church you know the Lord. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I'm going to ask you to think about your life. Ask yourself, have I ever given my life to Him? Have you ever made a decision, a choice? It doesn't matter if you've been raised in church or your parents brought you here today. It's got to be your own decision. There's a lot of children here this morning, and kids, maybe you need to understand that this is a time for you to say, am I a follower of Jesus? Do I want to serve Him with my life? Maybe you're an adult and you say, Pastor, I've never really made that decision. I've never really made that choice, but the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning. No one's looking around, but I want to just ask you as your pastor, if you'd say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I want to give my life to Him. I want to make sure that I've given my heart and my life to Him. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? You can put it back down. No one's looking around, just me and you. Amen. I see some children, some adults. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're saying, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure that I'm sealed with the Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. I sure appreciate your honesty this morning. Father God, I thank you for those who are lifting their hands this morning. Lord, reaching out to you, asking you, Lord, to come in to their lives. If you lifted your hand this morning, pray a prayer that like this, said, Jesus, come into my life and forgive my sin. Make me a new person. Cleanse me. Fill me. Set the seal of your Holy Spirit on my life. And friend, if you pray that prayer, I want you to know that God says he will answer that prayer. He'll forgive your sin. He'll make you a new person. He'll move in, change your heart. Father, we rejoice at those who are lifting their hand this morning and praying that prayer. Father, we thank you that they're doing business with you and your Holy Spirit is speaking to them. I pray you just confirm that in their hearts. Lord, for the rest of us who are already believers and followers of you, Lord, help us to take this truth, Lord, although it may be hard sometimes for us to get our hands around it, Lord, help us to take this truth and apply it and live it and know it and be secure in your love. Thank you for your Spirit who's a deposit guaranteeing our future. The seal of your Spirit, God, that marks us as genuine, authentic believers. So, Lord, help us live with joy. Help us live with enthusiasm. Help us to live knowing that you've done this for us and you want us to live that way. Lord, for those of us who are going through difficulties and trials, help us to realize that those trials are forming your character in us, the character of Jesus. So help us not to give up. Help us not to doubt or lose faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this again this morning, we give you these notes, and my prayer is that you would take them, and if you're kind of walking through this today, maybe this is the first time you've heard a message like this, you're trying to figure out what's really going on, take some time. Allow God to speak to you. Look at these scriptures again this week, and if you're walking through doubt or fear, say, Lord, I'm going to stand on what your word says, not what the enemy says about my life. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and wait upon us now as we receive the Sunday morning tithes and your offerings to the work of the Lord. I trust you're putting God first in your life, and that it certainly includes your finances. God says all of it belongs to me, but I want you to bring the first 10% to the work of the Lord to support it and to spread the word of God around the world. So I trust you're doing that, and God's blessing you as you are. Take that Connect card and drop that in as well, and thank you in advance for doing that. Father, we pray you bless this offering. We bring it to you not because of obligation or duty or fear, but because we love you, and because we want you, Lord, to be first in our lives. So bless this offering, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things with you quickly before we go. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning and you want to make sure you're right with God and you're starting your new relationship with Him, we've got a book I'd like to give to you. It's called The New Believer's Handbook. This is out there at the information desk. Just stop by and pick one up. It'll help you get started in your life with Jesus and give you some great tips, some Bible studies here that you can look at. And I want to encourage you to pick that up. It's our gift to you to make sure you take a look at that. Amen. Also today, in about a month, we have our Hope Fest outreach here. And so today as you leave, we're going to be selling burritos out in the lobby. So if you want to pick up a burrito or a whole bag of burritos, I think they're $1 each. So pick some up on your way out. That'll help our outreach team raise the money that we need for this event coming up in about a month. It's going to be a great, great time. Amen. Well, let me send you out of here with a blessing. If you want to receive a blessing from the Lord, would you just lift up your hands to Him today? It's my privilege as your pastor to bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His kindness and have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless.